May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to God, now and always. Amen. Please sit down. You, my friends, were called to be free. Only beware of turning your freedom into license for your unspiritual nature. I'm quoting from the first reading we heard today. Freedom sounds a wonderful thing when applied to ourselves, but living with other people means we cannot all be free to do just as we like. What we like may well be what our neighbour most dislikes. The freedom we can have is the freedom of choice. Amazingly, the all-powerful being we call God allows us that. We're given the freedom to reject God, to deny the existence of anything other than this physical life. We have even been given the freedom to put God to death. The gospel reading for today comes from a time when Jesus' physical life, when he must have been in despair. He knew that, as with all of us, his time on earth was finite, and yet his closest followers seemed to have no clue as to what he was trying to tell them. They were still fixated on earthly power. If you are treated badly, get your own back. If the Samaritan villagers didn't want Jesus staying amongst them, then they must taste his anger. Of course, we have learnt much better. None of us would behave with anger and violence to people who hold different views from ourselves. I'm sorry, it gets worse. Jesus even made it hard for new followers to join him. Excuses would not do. Excuses are often just words designed to make us feel better. At that point in Jesus' life, the time for words was almost over. He was deliberately heading towards Jerusalem, where he knew only humiliation and painful death awaited him, and not one of his followers would stay with him. The analogy of setting your hand to the plow and not looking back is particularly telling. I think I'm fairly safe in saying that none of us has ever guided a plough by walking behind it. Although I know at least one of us has cut a furrow by driving a tractor. My owner's making a feelings notice. I listen to the archers, and I know all about the enormous computer-driven machines that make sure a straight furrow is ploughed almost without human assistance. Would our lives were guided like that. Then we would never look back and see in our own lives a wavy furrow behind us. Sometimes even taking a wrong turning and disappearing into another field. All our decisions would be made for us, and we would never make a wrong turning in life. All would be smooth and easy. And we would never grow. Never change our minds, never love, because that is the most dangerous thing we can do. If we love, we make ourselves vulnerable. We open ourselves to loss, sadness, and hurt. We become human, just as Jesus did. Luke's gospel was written some years after Jesus walked this earth and probably relied on the memories of others as well as the gospel of Mark. But our first reading today is considered one of the earliest writings in the New Testament. It comes from a letter written by Paul to the very new churches in the region of Galatia. When Paul was with them, they were on fire with the message he brought them about the life and death and rising to new life of Jesus, and the freedom it gave them to choose their own way to follow him, with the rule of love to guide them, rather than the hundreds of written laws. But Paul had moved on to spread the good news to others, and new preachers had come to them, missionaries, if you like, who laid far greater emphasis on the Jewish law, in particular the physical sign of a Jewish male, circumcision. Now, circumcision for a baby is one thing, but circumcision as an adult is entirely different, and the converts were losing their initial enthusiasm. Now, you may wonder why I'm talking about circumcision when there was no mention of it in the reading from Galatians that we heard today. When the lists of readings for services were drawn up, it was obviously considered unnecessary for us to hear about such things as Jews and Christians had long since parted company. So the reading today starts at verse 1 and then moves swiftly on to verse 13. So I will do the same, except to mention that just as Paul was angry that the message of Jesus was being obscured by the human wish to belong to the same club, we have been doing the same for years by arguing that the gender of the person delivering the message is more important than the message itself. So the message of today is that God wants us to make our own decisions. As Paul writes, it is for freedom that God sets us free. I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. It's amazing that an all-powerful God allows us the freedom to choose how we behave. What is more, we can make mistakes that we regret and then go and do it all over again. We can be cowardly and hide away instead of standing up for those too weak to defend themselves. Or maybe worse still, we can hide behind a facial mask or social media and intimidate and bully people into our own beliefs and way of life. In public and private, we make promises we have no intention of keeping. We live lifestyles that squander the earth's resources and pretend not to notice those who can barely feed themselves. All this, and God does not, as many of the Old Testament prophets believe, send a thunderbolt and destroy us. If the world is destroyed, it is we who are doing it. But enough of wallowing in our own self-disgust. We are given freedom, but we are not left alone. As we were reminded again at Pentecost, the Spirit of God is among us, and if we ask for help, we will receive it. It's God's help, and beyond our powers of imagining or understanding, so we don't always recognize it at the time. But looking back, we can see the help was there. Of course, we have to do our part and move beyond what Paul calls the gratifying the desires of our unspiritual nature. As you heard, he gives a list of unspiritual behavior, and it's tempting to read it aloud because the evil things in life always sound so much more thrilling. You've had some of it, beautifully read from Jemima. Just a little bit more. He talks about debauchery, fits of rage, orgies, intrigues. While the good things are lovely, gentleness, self-control, patience, but they do sound a little bit feeble and weak. But there is nothing feeble and weak about loving our neighbour as ourselves. That is very hard because it means everyone. And there are some very unlovable people about. Not us, of course, it's all the others. Jesus told us to love God and love our neighbours as ourselves. That's three lots of love: God, everyone else, and ourselves. It's not easy, this business of being a Christian. We can't do it on our own, but we don't have to. God is with us. And if we keep awake, sometimes we're given glimpses of God in action. I want to finish with the words of C.S. Lewis. Yesterday, some of us were working in the churchyard, and in the space of 2 hours, three different groups of people came to spend time in the church where he worshipped and to honour his grave, some of them having come from very far away. Lewis called these glimpses of God in action joy, an unsatisfied desire which in itself is more desirable than any other satisfaction. He's speaking of those sudden shafts of light that illuminate our lives and give us a glimpse of the world that lies ahead, the joy that lies ahead. To quote from Lewis again, the book or music in which we thought beauty was located will betray us if we trust in them. It was not in them, it only came through them. And what came through was longing. For they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never visited. Echoes of God. We are given the freedom to discover them for ourselves.